Nick Kyprios, our NHL insider, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln. Morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. So what do you think? Go ahead.
That's 10 grand he could spend.
So what did you think? Let's start with the Lucic then. You're in charge. Does he get a fine? Does he get a suspension? Does he get nothing? Did the guy get what he deserved? What did you think about that whole scenario?
Well, I think it was just a warning. I didn't see anything that hurt him, put him in danger, jeopardized his career. I think it's a bad look. Today, in 2018, they fined him 10 grand because they think it's a bad look. But it's still a part of the game. Tell me there's a little bit of intimidation still in this game. Tell me there's still a little bit left in the game where the guys can police themselves. So I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get the mass criticism of it. I didn't get Bertuzzi Moore comparisons. He's standing over him. He let the guy. This isn't a Chris Simon baseball bat swing. This is not a Chris Pronger stomp. It's none of that stuff. And I'll tell you what, Nick, I put video up 6 years ago. He blew Ryan Miller up in a collision chasing a loose. I mean, blew him up. And remember, the big narrative of that was, where are the Sabres? None of them did anything. Lucic is too big. It was up to Paul Gostad like 3 weeks later to try and take Milan Lucic on in a fight. And like he did to Mike Komisarek, he got destroyed. Like, that's, if you're going to blow up a Vezina nominee year after year, because that's what Ryan Miller was then, that's a little more than leveling a guy, standing over him, and giving him a little swat with a glove to let him know not to run your star players. I didn't get it.
You know, and I feel for Milan, because damn if you do, damn if you don't. Let's face it, when something happens out there, the first question is where's Milan? Where is he? He's supposed to do something. This is, what are we signing him for? He signed this contract that you know he can never live up to, and Edmonton fans are the first ones to scream that you know, when a player gets run from behind, he's nowhere to be found. So he goes out there, he sends a message. It was an appropriate time, mm-hmm. in terms of, it's not going to cost the team the win, but it was message sent without, again, jeopardizing Joseph's safety. So what's the big deal? Come on. They've cleaned the game so much up. Everybody's like, we got to get that out of the game. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They did it. It's out of the game. We don't ever see it. We hardly ever see it. That's how sanitized the game is right now.
7:38, Nick.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
They cleaned it all up. It's gone. Now we see it once in a blue moon, and people are still screaming. Give me a break.
Nick Kyprios, our guest, 7:39, Hockey Central at noon later today. We've got Wild at Kings, by the way, from Staples Center on Sportsnet tonight. So the Quenneville dismissal, long talked about the, with both Bowmans there, that maybe this happens at some point in time. It was even talked about before they won in 15. Do you look and go, it's just too obvious? It's just that there's too many things there to suggest that if he wants to come in, he'll slide right back in. And there's coaches feeling the seat a little hotter right now because they know they don't have Joel Quenneville's resume and their team is struggling.
Yeah, listen, it all depends on how we've seen a couple of clubs already act real quick. I'm sure there's other ones contemplating what to do here. He's not going to come cheap. One of the most successful coaches in history. So it's really his call in terms of how quickly he wants to get involved again, and what kind of deal that he can strike up contractually, because he'll be in a position where he can still command the huge bucks. But there's no question that Joel's still got a lot of coaching life in him, and teams know it.
Leafs back at it tomorrow night, back-to-back Jersey and the Boston Bruins here, and then on the road Saturday night in Boston. And probably the time where Sparks gets another start probably tomorrow night. But you got Freddie coming off of maybe his best game of the year. Certainly he stole a game. Is there anything that you could see from Freddie Anderson that will alleviate the fears of some Leafs fans that it'll be another late playoff collapse? Anything that could happen during the regular season that would suggest it's a different Freddie going to the playoffs?
Well, yeah, there's no way you're going to look into your crystal ball and know for sure that spring will be any different for anybody at any time. But you just hope that he's better for the experience of it. I really like him. I like his demeanor. I think he's a real sharp guy. I think he's a student. I think he understands that as great of a regular season you can have, once you get it to a certain point where you've established yourself as a number one goalie, all that's left is to get it done in the playoffs. And I think mentally he's already starting to build himself up in terms of understanding that. Last year, I think it was still a position where, hey, I gotta prove myself as a number one goalie and show everybody I can carry the mail for a contending hockey club. He's beyond that. Now it's about the prep work of an 82-game regular season to get yourself in a position to carry a hockey club for 2 months in the playoffs. Look how long it took Holtby, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. It's not an easy thing. And let's face it, if Holtby found a way to lose in the first or second round, we'd be screaming he can't get the job done. And no one's saying that now. It's not an easy thing for these goalies to get the job done, win Stanley Cups. But I think Freddie's doing everything he can to get himself ready for it.
I had someone who's sort of casual hockey fan. He's talking about Dubas Nylander yesterday, but I thought this was insightful, and I want to see if you think it is. It's one thing if players want to say, or fans want to say, oh, come on, where's the player? Get in the lineup. This guy makes this fit in here. But by the time the end of the month comes, Nylander's already, once he's lost 18, 20 games, once he's lost 22, 23 games, why cave then? This will all come to Kyle Dubas's doorstep if William Nylander does not play this season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, right?
I said that at the beginning of October. I hope he's not wasting anyone's time here. You know, I hope there's a purpose beyond all of this for him. And, you know, if you're going to take this thing right to the end of November, then you better not be bluffing.
No.
You know, it just don't, like, if you're in it to prove a point, then you better be willing to sit out the season to do it. And does that mean that you force a trade? If you happen to miss the season, does that get you traded at the draft? Does that get you automatically to another organization where they're willing to pay you over $7 million a year? I got to think that's the only strategy that's left. But if he turns around and signs a deal for 6x6, maybe one that was on the table a month ago, then to me that's the biggest embarrassment out there for him. But I gotta have a sense here that he's willing to make the point of sitting out the season if he has to. And if that's the case, then that's a tough decision for Kyle Dubas at the end of the month. Just, do you let that asset sit when you're trying to contend for a Stanley Cup? We all say, hey, Kyle, turn it into a defenseman and let's move on.
Nick Kypreos, it'll be a very interesting time coming up in that scenario. It's going to play out real soon. Thank you, Nick.
Okay, guys, have a great day.